Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. Brought to you by TwoWayRadioCenter.com, a Motorola value-added reseller. The Church Safety Guys is a nonprofit organization dedicated to equipping the vigilant, those men and women who stand watch, keeping our houses of worship and places of faith safe. We believe church safety and security must be a ministry first, and have engaged servant leaders who continually strive for excellence and teams of motivated volunteers that are always training. Join us for the next hour as the Church Safety Guys unpack safety, security, leadership, and ministry operations with your hosts, Dr. James McGarvey and Mike Scully. This broadcast is also available on YouTube, your favorite podcast platforms, churchsafetyguys.com, and on the original Church Security app. Download it today. Feel free to like, subscribe, and share with your ministry.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. I am James, and on this broadcast, joined by my co-host, Mike.
What's up, sir? How are you?
It is a fine day.
That it is. I sat out and actually had lunch outdoors. It's great. It was 79 degrees, I think we had down here. It's a great, great day.
I'm jealous. Although we had a, what was it, 62 degrees today?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby.
It's getting better. Somebody was doubting the legitimacy of the groundhog from a couple weeks ago. Yeah, it's like, what in the world? But we had a day Tuesday last week, we had tornadoes roll through, and it went from 62 degrees to 32 degrees in about 6 hours. Because once the weather front went through, it just, the bottom dropped out of it, and it was pretty crazy. But the funny thing about that, I guess, if it's funny, thankfully no one was hurt. We did have in Central Ohio, we did have a couple of funnel clouds seen and a lot of damage towards the west of Central Ohio. But thankfully nobody was hurt, but the funny piece of it was I went out to my car and I'm leaving to drive to the office, and I've got my bag and my cup of coffee, and I get to the car, right, to get in the car, and I hear the tornado sirens go off. So I'm like, okay. So then I walk back in the house and I set my stuff down and I pull up on the phone, the satellite imagery of what's going on and everything. And then they're like, well, it's a tornado watch, not a warning. So I'm like, okay, I'll drive to the office anyway. So the tornado siren stopped. I go back out to my car and I get to the car a second time and the sirens go off again. And then my phone flashes that it's actually a warning and not just a watch that. So I walk back inside. And of course, at that point, my kids were all like, should we go in the basement? Should we go in the basement? Like the projected course of the storm, I'm like, it's really going like 2 miles south of us. So let's just watch it. You don't need to go in the basement. You know, but I'm the type of guy, we decided that it's true. There's two type of people. There's the people that go in the basement immediately and put a blanket over their heads. And then there's the people that go outside in the yard to watch it. And I'm one of the individuals that goes outside in the yard to watch it. Cause I'm like, that is amazing.
I think I'm kind of somewhere in the middle there. I think between the getting the kids in the right spot, because herding all three of the little ones together, and I wouldn't say I'm outside, but I'm certainly aware of what's going on and kind of tracking and understanding where it might be. What really gets me though is more the severe weather that happens after dark, especially if it's going to be wrapped in rain. You can't really see it coming. So it's that's where it kind of changes in that dynamic. And then when you shift it and say this is occurring if you're in a church, well, not many, not every church has a lot of windows. I guess that's a good thing in a tornado, but at the same point, that doesn't mean you're actually able to see what's coming. In fact, we've seen numerous churches that we've looked at that it's not always posted in how to get to that bunker, that storm shelter, the area of the building that's the most safe, if you will. And we've seen lack of signage when we've done our assessments. And some don't even have it. It's like, oh, well, we kind of put people over here. Okay. Had you thought about that? Or is it just you're thinking about that last minute? So not a lot of signage and things like that. So I think there's, it depends on whether you're an individual or you're with your church, your team, and thinking about taking care of others versus, all right, as an individual, you're kind of like maybe a little bit more frivolous, a little bit more risky, and go do your thing.
That's true. And it is kind of freaky sometimes when you're trying to figure stuff like that out. And if you're at night, obviously at night, the sky is dark, or in the early morning, the sky is dark. So you, unless you really know what it, you know, what it presents with, it's hard to like step outside and instantly think something's not right with that weather. And one of the things I noticed when it was dark was, even though it was dark and I walked out to my car, when I looked up and I heard the sirens go off, the sky is still gray. Like it has that ashen gray color. And I'm like, that's not really, you know, that's not really looking good. But at night it's the same thing. Like if you're not familiar with it, or you live in an area where maybe you don't get a lot of crazy weather, when something like that pops up, it can be kind of deceptive because, you know, you're trying to figure out why it's different, why it's still. But I've actually been in several hurricanes and several tornadoes. And I can tell you that, if you are ever in a situation where a tornado passes over you, or passes where you are, you will not forget it because it's very, very distinct with how it sounds. And, I was actually in one at my college in, my undergrad when I was 20 years ago, our college got hit by a tornado, and I was literally pushing people to get down to, like our storage cellar, which was like our bunker basically.
Yep.
And I'm like pushing people toward, like literally like shoving them like, go, go, go. And I went to pull the door closed behind me, and we actually had a funnel go across the property. And it was, I was terrified, and I still remember what it sounds like and everything. But the crazy thing was, I was also in awe. Like I was scared, but I was also like in my mind, you know, I was just like, wow, this is amazing. Like God's creation. And then I'm like, I should probably go down with everybody else. So, but it did, it sounded like a freight train going through, and I was like, okay, this is not something that should be played with. So, but there are several, I will throw this out there. If you're coming into hurricane, because we are actually coming into hurricane and tornado season, there are several great online resources from FEMA and also Department of Homeland Security that you can do online free that kind of help guide you through what to look for with weather. So, you know, as we talk about that, there are different options and certainly different videos that you can watch free on YouTube that will kind of help you be able to assess that and know what's coming ahead of time and kind of pay attention to that. But if you haven't joined us in a while, or maybe this is your first time, welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us. As always, you can reach out to us through our website, which is churchsafetyguys.com, or you can reach out to us through the Church Security app, which is free to download on Google and iOS platforms. And all you have to do is download that, and you can register free, thanks to our sponsors with 2wayradiocenter.com, and then also the Redemption 316 coffee. Both of those partners, ministry partners, have supported us, and we're extremely grateful for that. And definitely you can check out their website if you're in a need for communication items, or if you need coffee, like most of us do every day. Some of us do. I'm an avid coffee drinker. Mike doesn't touch the stuff. So
yeah, I would love to. It's the acid and so forth. But really appreciate those that do help kind of cover our costs and get it out there. So really,
absolutely.
Anything you can do to support our sponsors certainly helps support the show and what we do to help churches all over the country. So
for sure. So real quick, what I do want to mention is you're welcome to like, share, and subscribe. If you click the subscribe button, that alerts you. Typically we try and do an episode every Sunday. And if you click the subscribe button, if you're on YouTube or whatnot, that will actually notify you when we have new shows coming. But usually we try and do one every Sunday night, and we kind of do them quarterly now. So we do probably about 12 or 13 episodes in a season and then take kind of a little bit of a break. So we're going to be taking a short break up to Easter here soon. And that honestly, that gives us the opportunity to serve in our own churches and help with Easter things coming on. But we will have an episode next week, and that will be talking about Easter assessments. And I think we may have a guest on, but we should definitely have Jared Teslov from Rock Point Church will join us again, and he's on here every once in a while and whatnot too. So definitely good stuff, and an episode coming into Easter you probably don't want to miss, because we'll have some great discussion on different things that you can do to be ready for Easter, one of the most really busiest holidays of the year for churches, and just some tips and best practices that we've come across as far as maintaining a safe and secure church campus during that type of event. So we'll be talking about those. So if you are in the southern half of the United States, or you just like to travel to Texas and want to say hi, April 26th and 27th in Austin, Texas is the Church Security Essentials Conference for 2024. That is our conference where we have individuals come in, and we've actually added a day this year. You can go get more information on that at churchsafetyconference.com. We have actually sold out of the VIP. We had a VIP session. We have closed that because we've sold quite a few tickets in that regard. But we still have two sessions, two long sessions on Friday morning, Friday afternoon, which will be Friday morning. We'll be talking about starting a team and some dynamic aspects of that. Friday afternoon, Mike will actually be doing a simulation and running people through how to be better prepared with different common things that we're seeing as far as trends in churches and how to respond with that. And then Saturday we'll have a full day of just amazing speakers. We have John Riley with General Response there. He'll be talking about de-escalation in ministry. We have a couple other folks, Steve Bucci will be there, and I'm looking forward. He's been on the broadcast. I've never met him in person, but Steve is a great guy, a retired, I believe retired colonel from the Army. And he served as Donald Rumsfeld's assistant at the Pentagon in September 11th. During September 11th, he was actually at the Pentagon with his wife. And so Steve's an amazing guy, a great American speaker, and he actually is over his safety team at his home church up in Michigan. So it's just a great, it'll be a great day, great weekend. You won't definitely don't want to miss it. And if you're listening to this and you want to bring your whole church, we've had several churches reach out to us and ask if they can get tickets to bring their team. Let us know, because we do have discount codes that we can give you if you have, you know, over six or seven folks purchasing tickets. Let us know, and we're happy to get those codes to you so you can sign up. But we're coming into the 6 week, 6-7 week stretch.
That's scary.
So you don't, if you were thinking, hey, I want to get a ticket, and we've actually, looking at it, Texas is so big. We've had a lot of folks obviously sign up from Texas, but we've also had other states. So we have folks, I think North Carolina, we have folks flying in, and then we have other states around the country that people are coming out. So if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I haven't been to a safety conference in a while, there literally is, and this is how we designed it, there's something there for everybody. So if you just started your team, you'll find benefit. And if you haven't started a team yet, but you're interested, you know, there's a ton of amazing resources. Plus, we'll also have some vendors there that can talk about different things to help you. And you know, we have those vendors and folks attending pre-screen. So, you know, they have our recommendation and do an amazing job supporting our ministry as well. So
I want to highlight the panel that we're putting together too. So we'll have a number of security leaders. So we're going to have a kind of a panel available for submitting questions for anybody that's there. And it's all church security leaders that will be sitting on that panel. All have led their teams for various number of years. So tremendous amount of experience, not just necessarily those that are their trainers or consultants, which we've had in the past, and they're good too. But I think this is, we want to focus on a very specific leadership setup for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a lot, there will be a lot of free time as well. If you do the 2 day ticket, there's an enormous amount of time that we've built into it. So you can come talk to us. You can talk to the other speakers. The other speakers are available. All of us are extremely down to earth, approachable people. And we love to help you if there's a way we can do that. So we've really, really kind of designed this as a way to say, you know what, this is an interactive engagement based conference. So it's not, when we interact, when we do things, it's not here, sit in this chair for, you know, 8 hours and listen to people speak. It's very much, hey, let's look at what you're doing in your church. Is that a best practice? Is it not? Can we help you? You know, maybe you can help this other church because they're struggling. So very supportive. And that's really our big focus with it is to come together and be able to help each other, but also provide some high caliber, high quality resources. And we have so much content and so much resources. It really should be like a 3 day, but we've had to kind of cut back.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle being in Texas that long. So I'm joking. I like Texas. I love Texas. I'm flying down early, and my plan, I already told Mike, my plan is to try and go to San Antonio, 'cause I've never been there. So,
yeah. Hey, you've spent a lot of time in Texas over the last couple of years with different clients and consulting and coaching and assessments and so forth. So you've had a chance to play the tourist and see some different spots, but it's so huge. I mean, it's such a big city, but we're really centrally located in Austin. It's going to be drivable from any of the big cities, whether that's San Antonio, as James mentioned, or any of the others, frankly, for that matter.
Yeah. It definitely is. And honestly, at the price point as well, our price point, it was really, really defined and described for helping any type of church. So again, it's one of those things. If you find that maybe your church is a smaller church, or you're having an issue coming up with the money for a ticket or whatnot, please reach out. Please let us know, and we can give you a code, and we can try and help you out as much as possible, because we want folks to come. We want you to be blessed, to take the day and recharge and be able to learn something. And thankfully we've had some sponsors and also churches step in and say, hey, you know, we'd like to support this church or that church coming. So, you know, and we always have folks that do that. So please don't, you know, reach out to us if it's something, even if you're the only individual in your church and you're like, hey, I don't know if my church can afford this. It's even with the cost increase, we've managed to do it financially responsibly and at a great price point. So, but you know, if something comes up, reach out. We'd love to help as much as we can. So on that note, we'll shift gears. And I wanted to talk about the topic of tonight on this broadcast. I wanted to talk about the topic of leading like Jesus. And I know several individuals that several pastors that do a phenomenal job with their ministry and balancing leadership principles. And so one of those individuals is none other, if I don't get tongue tied and twisted up here, is Dustin. Dustin's been on the broadcast before, but I'll bring him in and we'll have him jump in. So Dustin, welcome.
Hey, thanks, James. Appreciate it, Mike. Thank you guys for having me here.
Welcome back.
Yeah, glad to be back.
It's always great having you on. We were joking around before about it off the broadcast, but you are one of, if not the busiest pastors that I know, and you're doing about as much. I think, you know, it's funny because people always ask Mike and I, they're like, hey, how do you guys balance everything? Like, how do you do all the family, the church, the ministry, all this stuff? And I think you're the one guy that puts me to shame, like puts both of us to shame, because you're like a pastor, a coach, like coach. You have your own ministry that you started with a podcast. So I definitely, and you're an author, and you're taking classes yourself. So
James, you're stressing me out the more you're talking now.
All right.
This is how I get through my days. I just don't think about it. I just get
okay.
Right, now you're making me think about it. Yeah. No, no, you know, balancing everything is a blast. I've made it fun. And honestly, again, I think last time I was on the broadcast, I may have spoke about it, but what led to my book was a season of just doing too much and burning out. And hitting my wall, and man, this last year, and just this last 3 to 4 months, the culmination of the book, and it's just been an amazing season of not perfection, but definitely been able to breathe and get some things accomplished. But no, James, I'm right there with you. It could be a busy life. I'm also a husband and father of three. Just to toss
there,
it
you
in
go. There. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I'm impressed, and I think you've. Hanging out with you the beginning of the year, I think that kind of inspired me some. I don't want to give you too much credit because I don't want to give you a big head. You won't be able to fit on the.
Screen. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
but no, I appreciate it because one of the things for 2024, one of the things that really stuck in my mind was setting boundaries, you know, and saying, okay, with as much as what we do, and that's why. You know, this year, that's why we're changing our podcast schedule, because we realized that we, to continue to serve how we want to and to put into our families, and to work with, you know, the church and do everything, we just need to be more protective of our time and looking at, you know, what's valuable, what's value added, what's not. And so that's, And I never like to see anyone burn out, And certainly I've had several experiences in my life where I have, and I'm like, you know what? It takes a long time. It takes longer. Like if you had set up the parameters along the way to safeguard, you'd be doing better than to stop and get back involved after you burn out. Cause once you burn out, it's like, okay, you know, who am I mad at? Am I mad at the church? Am I mad at God? Cause sometimes that it always seems like those are the two focal points. Like we never get mad at ourselves.
No,
we always get mad at everybody around us.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to a therapist friend the other day, and he was telling me how most of the time people misdirect their anger towards someone else. And we do it exactly as you had just said, setting those boundaries and then doing something. You know, your topic tonight of leading like Jesus. One of the things Jesus did in his leadership in setting the example for us was rest. And he took time to get away, took time to get to the side. He didn't heal everybody. He didn't do everything. He did all sorts of great things. And as John wrote, things that, you know, would have filled a tome or more of books. But being willing and able to say no to some stuff is a valuable, valuable trait every leader needs.
Absolutely. We've been, I think when we started, we were doing 50 episodes a year. And I mean, that just takes a toll. Yeah. And I think, I mean, 4 years in on doing that, and even we tried to move with a little bit of breaks here and there. And so it's, we've found that the rest that we get, even over a short number of weeks that we take off, whether it's around the holidays or whether it's around Easter or whether it's in the summer, as we've added those, we found that richness that God's showing and revealing himself to us and why we do this as much clearer. Instead of getting tired, getting distracted, getting frustrated over how busy it can become and how routine it can become, instead, by pulling back, that contrast is actually allowing it to shine better.
That is so true. And oftentimes it's that time to pull away and do what he says in John of abiding in him. That was one of the questions, you know, I faced whenever I did burnout was I went to God, like everything I'm doing for you. You know, I was teaching at a collegiate level to high school level. I was pastoring. I was doing a number of things. And the response that just kind of, you know, slapped me in the face was, you know, you're doing all this for me, but what are you doing with me? I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Well, that's cool. And that time of rest gives us that opportunity to truly sit back and just be with God and then live from that rather than trying to live for that.
Absolutely. I think that, and it's interesting too, a couple of weeks ago, we had Maddie Scholar on our broadcast. And if you missed that broadcast, I would encourage you to go back and listen again. Maddie is actually going to be at our conference in April as well, but she touched on a point and it's really stuck in my mind. And that's that, with church safety and security, oftentimes we get really focused on what we're doing. Like it almost comes to the point of becoming our identity, because just like law enforcement, just like public safety, oftentimes, you know, that resonates and it'll be like, hey, you know what? I'm an individual, not I'm an individual serving. I'm a security guy or I'm a safety person or something like that. And one of the things that Maddie pointed out, and I've really gone back and researched and it's pushed me to read more of God's word, is that, you know, when we serve, when our identity is focused where it should be, which is in Christ, that is kind of like the ultimate, you know, neutralizer of saying, okay, it's not really about me, but it also energizes me to want to serve and want to do better. And kind of gives me that platform of saying, okay, this is where I need to be in my life, and kind of helps us put things in balance. And oftentimes, you know, one of the passages that I've started referencing a lot is in Galatians 3:25-29, where Paul talks about everyone being, regardless of you being a Jew or a Greek, we're all one in Christ, and this is what we're supposed to be doing. And what's interesting to me is that when we find ourselves at that place where priorities are what they should be, right, in our lives, and things are ordered, sometimes, you know, it helps us weed through the things that we thought God want us to do that maybe we're more effective now because we're kind of balancing. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about, Dustin, because you got that smile on your
absolutely. On your face. And again, it's that time of just rest and reflection. You know, Elijah was in a time of just woe whenever he was going to God and saying, like, in my life, I'm the last one. Woe is me. All this bad stuff in my life's happening. And what did God tell him? Hey, why don't you like eat a bite and like take a nap? And sometimes we just need to eat a bite and take a nap, and then we can wake up and go, hangry. All right. Yes. Yeah. Right. And so it's not that bad, but we sit back, we reflect upon the two most important things. I think that if we keep at the forefronts of our minds and our hearts, as we continue to serve, love, live for God and with God, is who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. When we get so wrapped up, you mentioned identity and maybe a safety guy or a security or it really pastor or any sort of role or title we're in rather than just Christ and himself, we can begin finding ourselves attached to that, to where if something goes wrong there, our world is thrown to pieces. You know, you mentioned doing 50 some episodes a week and being committed to that and everything that goes into podcasting. And that's one of the, just a quick note to everyone who doesn't podcast. It is not as simple as turn a microphone on and talk. All right. Just so we're all clear about that. But everything that goes into that, and because I know for me, James, Mike, and I think for you guys too, like I love doing this. This is a joy. But when you're hustling, you're grinding and it could become a burden instead of a blessing. And when it gets to that point, that's when we got to say, okay, hey, maybe I need a nap. Maybe I just need to rest and reflect on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and remember why I'm doing this and the purpose of it. And then remembering I'm not God. I'm not perfect. I can't do everything, but I can do some things. And what should I be doing?
I think Mike's going to put that on a recording, what you just said, and he's going to like play it back for me. Because I don't know how many times I've been like, I'm done. I can't do that. Hey, I'll like message him. And he's usually pretty good at like, if it sounds really serious, he'll usually message me back and he'll be like, okay, I've got 5 minutes. Do you want to talk? Do we need a phone call or
peel him off the ceiling?
Yeah. Or he'll be like, okay, how serious are you? Like, what's the level of your I'm done? Because when I say I'm done and I'm not doing this anymore, you're absolutely right. I mean, we both love, in fact, every person that we serve with, you know, and I say that, I don't say that loosely. You know, there are folks behind the scenes, just like your ministry. You know, there are folks that are behind the scenes that are constantly helping support social media, helping with churches, you know, going in and training churches, going and working with them and stuff like that. But in truth, you know, when we do it, we enjoy it. That's why. Yeah. So to us, it's like, why is this such a bad, like, this shouldn't be a bad thing because we're doing it for God and for churches. This should be a good thing, but what's resonated with me and stuck in my mind, honestly, and I think I've probably said this maybe six times this week to other individuals. At one point in time, people used to joke around with me and they would say, hey, you know, you only have your kids. You only have to worry about your kids till they're 18, till they're adults, then they're out of the house and you're good to go. And I'm, you know, finally this week it clicked in my head that, you know, and I've said this several times, my kids need me more now, three of them being adults, than they ever did. With our society, with our culture, with everything going on, it's not a, okay, hands off, I'm done, go do your thing. They need my love. They need my support. They need my involvement and encouragement to continue with them, not leaving them off at the door and saying, see ya, but they need just as much of me now as they did, you know, 20 years ago when my wife and I first got married and had kids. So realistically, you know, we have to, we have to constantly be juggling and balancing priorities and deciding what is of value and what is of best interest. And there have been times where we've encouraged people. And if you're listening and you're like, hey, I'm doing this and I'm leading my church's ministry, or I'm doing all this stuff. There have been times where we've told people you need to take a break. Like literally you need to stop and step back, or maybe you need to go to a different church for a period of time because, you know, this just isn't working. But Mike, you wanted to jump in.
Yeah. I think tying back again to the titles and so forth is so often titles kind of are associated with kind of putting people on pedestals and those out of reach positions. And I feel like you get people that like certain titles, it's like exalted, whether it's pastor, whether it's leader, whether it's any number of things, whether it's lieutenant or captain or whatever type of title that may exist. And I think that's where I think we're getting out over our skis when we focus on that title. And it goes right back to, I mean, what does Paul say about it? He really kind of said, looking at humbling ourselves and rather than the exalted positions that people put us in. So when we step back as a servant and we step back and say, it's not about the title and it's not about even the job, it's about just helping and being like Jesus and serving like he did, that's when we're ultimately leading. And that's when we're kind of demonstrating. So I think we could see it. Don't let ourselves get over our skis. Don't let ourselves get focused and shed that title. So I know we put it on business cards and we put it on name tags and we put it on ID badges and everything else, but it shouldn't be that deep. It should be only on that surface level for identification. But what we should be identifying in is God's leadership.
It's interesting. Oh, go ahead.
James. Oh, thanks, James. Appreciate it. Mike, I want to talk to you or say something real quick. You were talking about the identity piece. A lot of people remember Paul as the missionary and, you know, evangelist and just every great thing that he did. What we don't think about is how long it took him to become that. After his Damascus Road experience of salvation, he wasn't just automatically tossed into, you know, that missionary role. He spent time with Barnabas. He traveled a bit. And then in Antioch, he finally gets called out. And I believe this is one of the reasons why one of the requirements for leadership in the church is to not be a novice. And I can't remember the exact verbiage of the verse right now, but it's basically unless you fall. When you take someone who's ill-prepared or unprepared, give them a title of authority and something they may regard and see right or wrong with prestige or respect that comes along with a title, they can wrap themselves up inside of that. And then the title begins to make the man. The thing that I think we need to be trying to do as leaders inside of ministries and just in general is allow ourselves to make the title. When we have God work in our hearts, and again, Paul there for that period of time, he was, and then he gets called out. And then what we see him living, I think, is from that time of preparation that he had and that time of discipleship. And then he lived out who he was in Christ and made the title missionary, evangelist, or whatever title you want to give to the Apostle Paul, apostle even. It wasn't that the title made him. He made the title. And when the title changes a person, they're allowing the title to define them. The title should be given to someone who's already living out the qualities that need to be there for it to be successful. And then they just continue doing that because it's part of who they are and who God's made them to be, rather than, again, for whatever reason, they wanted the title or the parking spot. Someone told me that for chaplaincy with the police force. He said, we get some guys that come in here, they want a jacket and a parking spot, and that's it. I'm like, I didn't even know I could get a jacket. That sounds pretty cool. But, so that's just kind of my two cents there, just ensuring that we make the title. We don't let the title make us.
Well, and it's interesting you say that because it's 100,000% true. And that's oftentimes when a church reaches out to us and it's gotten to that point of they're seeking an outside resource because they don't know how to fix what's going on. And, you know, Mike and I talk to them and other folks serving. Jared talks to him or Corey or any of the other folks that serve with us. We can actually pretty quickly, like if a church comes to us and says, hey, this isn't working right, and this dynamic is off, and we're not successful as a ministry for whatever reason, we can usually look at it and pretty quickly figure out what's going on. And it's not from necessarily doing, you know, hundreds of churches over the years, although we have talked to hundreds of churches, but it's also compiling different culture aspects to be able to say, okay, and ministry aspects to say exactly what you just said. Okay, wait a second. If you're having this type of interaction and you're having a challenge with that, that goes straight back to the fact that this individual is not, you know, they might be a great leader. They might be a great individual at getting people to follow them and maybe even motivate them a little bit. But if their identity is in, hey, I get to be a security guard at my church, you know, that's again, that it detracts from the ministry focus that we've always been about, right? Where we've talked to folks and said, look, ministry first, the safety and security team needs to be able to support the mission of the church. But when we see issues and we go and we start dissecting that, what does that look like? That looks like oftentimes it's individuals in key positions that have not found their identity in Christ. Or if they are, or if they have found their identity in Christ, maybe it's misplaced at this particular moment where it's not on the forefront of their mind to be, you know, to be laser focused in serving and what they do. But the truth is, and I've said it 100 times and I'll probably say it more, you know, when we're talking about safety and security, as much as it's important to be prepared for, you know, bad stuff that could happen to the church, it's just as important to be prepared to minister and pray and share the gospel with the individuals that come in. Because if we do that, one, we're supporting the mission of the church and the community. Two, we're supporting what the Bible tells us to do. And three, it gives us an opportunity to actually address potential problems down the road. You know, I mean, I was speaking at a conference last week up in Michigan, and I was talking to a couple churches, and they asked me the best way to de-escalate a situation. And I said, well, I said, if somebody is in a bad place and you can tell they're in a bad place and they're focused and they're upset and that sort of thing, they asked me, they said, well, what would you do in that situation? And I said, the first thing I'd do is I'd walk up to them and I introduced myself and I would say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you right now? And 9 times out of 10, honestly, that diffuses the situation enough, because who's going to say no to somebody caring and showing the love of Christ and saying, yes, I am interested in praying with you, or I'm interested in something being better or de-escalating this situation. And so when we do that, I think, honestly, oftentimes that helps us again, refocus back to what Jesus did. Jesus took time for everyone, but he also took time, like you said earlier, to rest, to step out, to prepare himself for ministry. He didn't, you know, the 40 days in the wilderness, he didn't just jump straight into ministry. He actually stepped back and said, okay, I'm going to train, I'm going to prepare, and then went into ministry and had an effective, very effective ministry. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, what you just talked about, James, was a biblical principle. Romans 12:20 speaks of giving your enemy water if they're thirsty, giving them food if they're hungry, and heaping coals of fire up on their head, coals of kindness to their shame. Oftentimes when people are angry and saying things, doing things, or a situation has escalated to a point, when you are showing a person kindness, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been angry before, then someone's walked up to you that you were angry at and then shows you kindness. I mean, how do we feel? We're like, oh,
Oh, okay. You're actually not that bad of a person. Never mind. But again, so what you're talking about, just a great biblical principle and truth there that, that Paul spoke about in Romans 12. So Mike, you were going to comment, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to tie back. No worries. I think you brought up something earlier, Dustin. It was really about kind of where we become and kind of what God calls us to be. And I feel like there's a reference there where both as we hear ourselves talk about as a calling, but also as a warrior, and sometimes where we feel like we're not adequate or not ready for the service that we're called to do. And God called Gideon as really a humble farmer who really was to himself, he felt unexpectedly chosen by God, but yet was called to lead Israelites against the Midianites. And that was a completely out of left field calling for him. But that's pretty often that when God steps in and calls us to become something different, it's often out of our comfort zone or out of our sight from where we could see it today. Like like you can't fathom what God's message might be in that moment. But yet God knows what is best for us and is calling us to that opportunity to be one with God, to serve in that calling, in that anointing, as he did with Gideon.
Absolutely. I mean, in our weaknesses, he's made strong. Moses had all the excuses in the world not to go and serve. David was a shepherd that was called to fight a giant and then become a king. You've got the apostles that were from various different professions and things like that, that were God used them, who he made them to be, to do what he called them to do. And that's something I think that, you know, I'm 36, and in my last 10 to 15 years, I've been, you know, challenging, just growing in the area of becoming comfortable with who I am, realizing that I don't have all the gifts. I don't have all the strengths of everybody else. These other people out here that are doing these amazing things, I'm not them. I'm who God made me to be. And I've got to live from that. And when I don't, that's when I have a lot of conflict and issue.
Absolutely.
It's interesting too, because you could almost draw a parallel and draw a line back to, you know, and I go back to Moses a lot because of my current job, current occupation, one of the things that I do. But oftentimes I know we feel like we're not qualified, or we're not in a place where we should be doing a certain ministry or a certain task. And yet other individuals have come to us and said, okay, yes, you know, we need you to do this in this ministry, or we need you to oversee this or that sort of thing. Not necessarily an emphasis on the title, but an emphasis on the character of the person. And that speaks volumes, because there have been many times where we've talked to churches where the safety person has been asked to do that by the church leaders because of how they handle themselves as an individual. You know, it's the level of maturity to be able to say, okay, I can offer, you know, a creative structure to this ministry to be beneficial and to help the church. And we joke around, I think sometimes to a fault, we joke around about, you know, being voluntold in this ministry and pastors picking stuff. And, you know, I mean, you guys have heard, I think both of you have heard the story that I tell when, you know, when my pastor asked me to join our church plant, he was like, and you can be in charge of the safety team because you've done it for 18 years. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. And he's like, what? And I said, no, seriously. I said, I feel like God wants me to do something else now. And he's like, okay, how about you're going to be over this and we'll put it over the safety team. And I'm like, fine, you know? And he's like, but you do it so well. And I said, well, here's the thing though. Like, we need to be training people up. Right. So maybe I do this at a higher level and I oversee it and I can offer counsel from my experience. But at the end of the day, you know, we need to be discipling and engaging folks around us to serve and to grow as well. I mean, I am not the believer that I was 18 years ago when I started our ministry at our church. And, you know, God has an amazing sense of humor sometimes, but he's grown me in ways through the safety ministry that I would have never thought, you know, possible. And he's used that ministry in my life, you know, in positive ways. So, you know, when I look at different things like him calling the disciples and all of them being like, okay, sure, we'll follow you. What's, you know, what's this about? Or, you know, even Moses, can you imagine that? Like Moses gave excuses speaking to the burning bush about how he wasn't fit. And God was like, I could just imagine God getting kind of like irritated with him and being like, hey, you're talking to a burning bush here. And it's ironic. I don't say that to be funny or comical, but at the same point, it's like, you know, there are times when we work on stuff like that and we want to put our best foot forward and we want to do the right thing. And oftentimes that comes from character, not a title, not a skill set, not, you know, not something, not a job function. And, you know, Mike and I have said numerous times previously that, you know, sometimes military folks and sometimes law enforcement aren't great for taking over a team. You know, a lot of times a church will say, oh, I've got this police officer, I'm going to let him or her, you know, oversee this. But oftentimes, you know, in our culture, public safety folks do that. Like they look at it as a title, like, okay, I do this as a job, and that may add some things, but there's also a certain dynamic and component to that as well to make sure that the ministry and that individual still understands where their identity is and where their focus is.
I think that comes back to the title that we were talking about earlier, but also in that what comes with a title is it comes with an authority. I think though there's a different level of an authority. We have the authority of God that has given us the calling to then serve and lead as we can in a ministry. But in a specific ministry, there's that authority sometimes as with a title that is then exercised over people. Well, Matthew calls very specifically, tells the disciples, Jesus told his disciples that you should not exercise your authority over people, that it's really about lowering ourselves to being a servant. And what's very interesting is I found that in the seasons where I've stepped back and I've not been leading my team is I've felt more like a leader than when I led the team. And it's because I was there to just serve and coach and help and not necessarily be in a title or in a position or have any type of authority at that point. I was just showing up and helping.
You know, Mike, I wanted to comment on two things. So James, what you were saying there, you mentioned character. Character beats out competence any day. A person could be competent, but be a complete and utter reprobate in a number of ways. And so we've got to look for character. And that's what God looks for. I you saw me kind of looking down and stuff. I was pulling it up just to remind myself of the list. But in 1 Timothy 3, the requirements that are put on a bishop and on a deacon, they're character-based. They're not competency-based. They're character-based. God looks for the character of the man. Moses wasn't chosen because he was eloquent of speech. In fact, he says the complete opposite. And so you're talking about police officers, military, usually being the first ones we go to as pastors, as ministry leaders to say, hey, I need a security team. Let's get this guy. Well, that's wonderful that he has these qualifications and things, but we've got to look for the character of a man before we look for the competence of a man. Because if you give it a man of character or a woman of character, you can teach them to be competent, but if you get someone of competence without character, now you have a problem.
Absolutely.
And then, oh man, I said that. Now I forgot what Mike was saying. I'm sorry. That's good.
I was talking about authority and our ability to, and serving and feeling that, the ability to be a leader when I served and not when I had a title.
That is a mistaken, there's a concept that is mistaken often, is that the leader is the one doing all the work. The job of the pastor is not to be the one that cuts the grass and wipes the windows and does all these things. The job of a pastor, as the Bible says, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And now those are very physical things that I mentioned. However, what's the real work of the ministry? Well, I think it was James that wrote that to serve the widows and orphans, loving people, preaching the gospel. Our responsibility as ministry leaders, even inside of a safety team, is not to just teach, show, to do all of the work, but is to raise people up so that they can do it without us. And it's a concept Maxwell teaches, and it's taught in a lot of places, but you work yourself out of a job because that's discipleship. You raise them up so that they can do it. And when you step back, you've got to let the bird fly at some point. And so you step back, you do that, and that's when you're leading. And then you come back, you make corrections, and that servant leader, that coaching leader, however you want to phrase it, that's leadership. Leadership is not authoritative and demanding. Leadership is selfless and serving.
I think that's the key, is serving with and not at. You know, you guys, both of you have said it, but it's like, you know, I've never, whenever I did, whenever I oversaw our safety team, I always did stuff with people. Like, that was my goal. Like, I'm not here to be the individual that's in charge to call the shots, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if, you know, something, an incident happens, you know, you have a medical incident, somebody passes out on the floor, they're not going to be asking if you're the leader or, you know, if somebody else is, they want care that, you know, there's an immediacy that of response to that situation. So realistically, I've always tried to look at it from that aspect, like, hey, you know what? And I love a lot of, if not all of Maxwell's stuff, because when he goes through and he looks at that, he looks at and highlights servant leadership, which, you know, servant leadership again goes back to aspects of Jesus, which is the best, you know, the best example of, hey, how do we navigate ministry? How do we do ministry? And if we can't recognize and glean things from Jesus doing what we do on a regular basis, then, you know, we definitely need to refocus and stop and just say, hey, you know what? Jesus tackled this and still did things very effectively, but, you know, Mike's wrestling his dog.
Yeah. He needs his own security team over there. He's getting attacked.
He wants to hop on air, I guess.
Yeah. James, you mentioned about looking to the Bible, looking to Jesus for the leadership and stuff. Maxwell does have a devotional out there based on his 21 laws. It's called The Most Important 21 Minutes of a Leader's Day. And it's all the 21 laws of leadership broken down into the five or seven day devotions. And so you just go through each one of them there. Wonderful, wonderful book. So I highly recommend that.
I'll have to check it out. The college that I used to teach at was in Ohio Christian University, and his dad actually started the college when it was Circleville Bible College. And so I had the opportunity a couple of times to see him at the college, because he would come and speak, and it was pretty cool. He was the one really that picked up the torch on servant leadership before anybody else and carried it forward. So, but there's definitely a lot of great content and information if we really dig into Jesus's ministry. And that's why I wanted to just encourage people tonight on the broadcast to say, look, you know, if you're struggling with leading your ministry or volunteering or serving or however you find yourself, taking the time to read through Jesus's ministry in the Gospels is a great way to recenter and refocus and really pay attention to, from a practical aspect, what Jesus did and how he did it. So for sake of time, we are actually just about out. So I'm going to toss it over to Mike, and he's got his closing thoughts.
Well, I was just looking at it as we talk about leadership and the different types of leaders that often people have, is you often find some that may be the visionary or some that enjoy the administrivia and the tasks and just kind of working through stuff. But then you got the discipling leaders that we talked about, the character and the others and what really God called in people. So you got to really pray about those traits, those areas, and understand that if you're feeling called or you are in leadership, but you feel weak in one of their areas, pray about it and then seek to grow. Surround yourself with others that may help in those areas. It's not about you having all three. It's about using what God's given you and then bringing the others into the fold with you.
For sure. For sure. Well, as always, Dustin, thanks for hanging out with us, and we appreciate it. We'll let you go because you've got a ton of stuff you got to get done tonight for sure.
Yeah. Just a couple things. Right. So I'm excited to see you guys in Austin. That'll be a great time and looking forward to that. I get to meet you in person. Finally, that's going to be a good time. So thank you guys for having me tonight. It's been a blessing.
That's great.
Yeah. Thanks, Dustin. So real quick, I know you're working on a new book, but what's your book? And I want you to have the chance to talk about your website and ministry for sure.
I just so happened to have it with me. Never thought I'd bring it up, but no. So the book is called Becoming a Man After God, a biblically based framework to achieve success with a thriving faith and family. This is our proof copy, first one. So this is going to get enshrined.
It's under lock and key.
Yes, very much so. But no, the book will be available late April and May. We should be ready at the conference there in Austin to have at our table for people to buy that if they want. But the whole concept of the book is discovering who you are in Christ, what God's called you to do, and how to live from that while maintaining that balance and rhythm of life that we're all trying to find. And we do that by having five areas of our life taken care of. And I know Mike likes lists, so I gave him this list last time. But if he wants to write it down, we can do it again. But those five areas are just deepen your relationship with Jesus, devote time to your family, develop yourself, deliver value to others, and do nothing for Jesus, not forgetting that essential part of rest in your life. So the book just kind of helps with a mindset piece there. And then the practical, it's very, very practical. And I did that on purpose because I can't stand when someone talks to me up here and I'm like, okay, great. Now what do I do with that? So it's a very practical piece that's actually getting turned into a life group Bible study. And so anyways, that's a wonderful thing. I'm looking forward to being able to get that out in people's hands. Thanks for letting me mention it, James.
Yeah, for sure. And then what's your website for Man After God?
Sure. Yeah. MenAfterGod.org. You can find us there. Facebook.com/MenAfterGod podcast. Or if you'd like to jump into the group, Facebook.com/group/MenAfterGod. And you can stay connected with us there. We've got some great interviews lined up on our podcast. We had Bill Leroy from the Savannah Bananas. That was a lot of fun. We just had a global business leader. And then for anyone in the church world, if you're familiar with Pro Church Tools or Nucleus or Rebel Give, any one of those products, I have an interview lined up with Brady Schreer, the owner of all of those and the one who launched all that. So we're excited to bring him on.
Good stuff.
And James is going to be getting on soon. We've sent him a link and I'm waiting for a response. But set your boundaries.
Yeah, that's on my list somewhere. That was kind of where I don't work from home as much and my job's changed. So
but that's all right. We're gonna get you on there. Well, hey, Mike, we can get Mike. Either one of you guys, we'd love to have you. I owe you that at a minimum.
I trust him speaking by himself without me around. So
hey, thanks.
It's good. You got the endorsement, Mike. Thank you guys so much for tonight.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. All right. So real quick, we'll just wrap up. So again, if you joined us, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And the title of the broadcast on this episode is Lead Like Jesus. And you can certainly go to our website, which is churchsafetyguys.com, and get the full copy of that, or you can go to our YouTube channel as well and listen to the whole thing if you just joined us or you just missed part of it. But great conversation about that. So if we can help you or your church out in any way, please feel free to reach out to us. And again, check us out. Come see us in Austin, Texas, the end of April. You can visit churchsafetyconference.com and get tickets to that event. And we'd love to connect with you and see you. So next week we'll be on. We'll be talking about prepping for Easter. So until then, take care. God bless. Have a great week.
Good night.
Thank you for joining the Church Safety Guys broadcast, brought to you by Vigilant Impact. We hope that you found it informative and we appreciate your feedback and interaction. Be sure to share our broadcast with your teams, join the discussion online, and connect with us on social media or at our website at churchsafetyguys.com. For other great ministry resources, download the Church Security app. Remember, keep a servant's heart, a mindset of ministry,
and Semper Disciplina. Always be training. Have a blessed week.